We'd like to greet everyone this morning in Jesus' precious name. I was blessed by the readings. It's actually, when Lester was reading, just reading, I was amazed at how many things just kind of popped out at you, like, wow, I didn't see that before. And I am so thankful for the Word of God, and I want to thank you, brothers, for sharing. The question I always ask is, how was your battle this week? How'd it go? If you didn't have a battle, the question I think you want to ask is, maybe you're not in the right ship. Because a lot of Christians like to be on the cruise ship where everything is served or rallied around them. Whereas in a battleship, you got to be alert. You always got to be covering the other person's back. And this past week, I was someone sent me a a song to let the truth be told. And I've been using that phrase quite a while. You know, truth be told, truth be told. But this song kind of hit me, and from the standpoint that, are we being honest in life? Do we really, you know, are we pretending to be something we're not? Or are we being real? We talk about that a lot here. You know, the three things we say is we want people to be honest, humble, and holy. And if you want to go anywhere in life, you're going to have to be honest with yourself, so that you can go forward in God. I had this question I written down here. So how many lies have you been told this last week by the devil? And how many of you this past week felt discouraged? How many were depressed? How many have been hurt? How many of you have been misunderstood? I'll raise my hand, because this past week was a little rough on me in various ways. And I think I needed to go through this little valley to help me realize I'm human just like everybody else. And well, it seems like there's a lot of crashing things that are coming around, and I have to realize I have this, you know, I'm an acronym person, you know that, and a lie or lies, and people who are living in evil surmise. In other words, Titus, thank you. We're living in the idea or being told things that aren't really true. And when you're lied to, and you start believing that lie, you're actually hurting yourself in many ways. Because we're here, we like to have truth. And truth is something that is trustworthy, it's real, it's unchanging, it's thorough, and it's healing. And if you're not experiencing that, if you're not experiencing truth, you're probably thinking or dwelling on lies. And Jesus has told us many times that liars are from the devil. And we need to try and make sure that we are not believing the lie, but we are believing the truth. And the way we believe the truth is by what we did this morning. We read it. and we let it apply to our lives and do something about it. I had a, I'm not sure I shared this before, but there's a lot of people who say, they're fine. They're just, you know, they say, how are you? I say, I'm fine. Well, if you come to our place, we have people coming and going at our place a lot. Some people call it Slamacre Junction. But a neighbor lady was over one time, and I said, well, how are you doing, Linda? And she said, I'm fine. And I said, oh, great. No, she says, I am fine. And I said, okay, what do you mean? She said, I'm freaked out, insecure, neurotic, and emotional. And I said, oh, you're fine. I said, well, that doesn't sound good. Well, she said, that's what I am. I'm fine. And so if somebody asks you and say, how are you feeling? You can say, I'm fine. And you're probably still saying the truth, depending on which fine you're using. But I would prefer you share the truth. And the truth is that we need to be real with ourselves and with other people. With other people, the Bible talks about, I think it was when Lester was reading, we're not here to lie to other people. We're here to be speak the truth. And I have the, I'm a little more of the person that wears my emotions on my shoulder, probably more than some. Because I remember I went through a meeting one time from the ministry, and I was being accused on a lot of things, and I came out of that meeting pretty low. And I went to the brother, and a brother met me, and he said to me, he said, we greeted, and he said, John, is something wrong? And I said, yeah, there is. And I just told him like it was. And I didn't know, but that brother went to bat for me with the ministry later on, which I have a deep appreciation for that brother to this day, because in my mind, he was a real brother, he was a real Christian. And he would not have known that if I wouldn't have been honest with him. And I think if we want to go forward in life, if we want to be a blessing to other people, we have to be first real ourselves and be honest. And then we can go forward in life. So anyway, truth, trustworthy, real, unchanging, thorough, and healing. I would like to say the reason why we can find joy in life, the reason why we don't have to believe these lies, is because we have a God that loves us. And I shared this before, and I'm not going to write it on the board, I'm just going to give it to you, and that is God. For G, I have three things, because we have the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, so I tripled it up, and also you understand with the O. But God is good, God is gracious, and God is giving. On O, God is omnipotent, God is omniscient, and God is omnipresent. And with D, God is divine, he divides, and he delivers. Now, when I say divide, that's someone said, yeah, to me, I was like, what? Why he divides? Well, God divides light from darkness. God divides right from wrong. He is a divider. And he has, and the question is, are you going to be on God's side or are you going to be on Satan's side? Yep, but that's what God is. He is a divider of good and evil. And we are living in a time where we are living among a lot of evil. And what I said here, living in evil is a lot of lies. So that's why we have to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The interesting thing, my wife came across this saying, and it blessed me. It says, before the truth can set you free, okay? We know the Bible says, know the truth, the truth will set you free. But it said, before the truth can set you free, you need to recognize which lie is holding you hostage. And we have a lot of people who are being held hostage because they're believing a lie which is not true. That's why we have to know what the Word says, what the Bible says, so we can be free from the lies they're trying to hold us hostage. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning with grateful hearts. We thank you, Father, for the privilege we have of living in this land of freedom, where we can gather together in this way, we can read your word, and we just pray right now that your Holy Spirit would dwell here and just show himself strong, that each one of us would be open to truth, open to the leading of your Holy Spirit as we look into your word. And we pray that you might give me words, be able to share things in a way that would be beneficial and encouraging to each one of us so that we can have a closer walk with you. We pray especially right now, Father, for the hostages in Haiti. We pray that you might be with each one, give them strength and courage. And we pray that you might be with the men who are doing this evil thing, that you might help them to see your love and see your sovereignty, and that they would in turn fear you and come to a saving knowledge of you somehow. Help us all, Father, to realize that we are nothing without you. We ask in Christ's name, amen. This morning for a message, I was wanting to try and answer some questions. And I would like if you could turn to John 14. And we'd like to read some verses here. John 14, I'm going to begin reading at 15. The question is, what did Jesus say about the Holy Spirit? What did he say about it? And these are words that Jesus has said, and I'm made to think that when I was a teenager, there was a minister, an older man that us young people, I think he lived at Landis Homes, and we were asked to go pick him up and bring him to church and that kind of thing. And Joe Martin was his name. And I remember after revival meetings one time, I dropped him off. Before he dropped me off, he said to me, he said, John, I think I was song leader that night, and I led a song. I think it was Just As I Am. And he said, that song has brought a lot of people into the kingdom of God. And then he said, but there's one thing that he has a concern about, and that is people in the conservative circles do not appreciate or value the Holy Spirit. He said, we do not emphasize or talk about the Holy Spirit. And that struck me. And I was probably 18 at the time, maybe 17. And I never forgot that. And that made me go onto a journey of wanting to know and be in this relationship with the Holy Spirit. I mean, when we are born again, the Holy Spirit enters into our lives. It becomes a part of us. And Jesus will share here what it's all about. Okay, John 14, 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which he heareth is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I'd like to just jump over to another verse in chapter 15, verse 26. It says, but when the Comforter is come, this is Jesus speaking, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Then I'm going to go over to 16, beginning of verse 7. It says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot hear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore saith I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. I am impressed that Jesus, this is what Jesus was saying about the Comforter or the Holy Spirit. He said he was going to be a comforter to us. And the Comforter could not come unless Jesus left. And that's the Holy Spirit's doings. The interesting thing is that in verse 16, 18, 15, 26, and 6, 7, they all says Jesus said they're a comfort. The other thing that Jesus said in verse 17, he says here, the Spirit of truth. So the Holy Spirit is going to be the Spirit of truth. He's going to help us see truth, help us understand truth. Let me give you a little bit of illustration. When I was younger, before I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, the Word of God was garble. I mean, I read it, but it was like, it just didn't make sense. But when I became a child of God and the Holy Spirit came into my life, things started making sense. The Word became alive to me, and I feel that that was because the Holy Spirit was able to show me or teach me what this truth was really all about. And this is why the world looks on at Christianity like it's a joke, because it doesn't make sense. And it makes me think about when a bunch of us men were over in, what country was it, where the tsunami came in, the 80-foot wave, and it wiped out a whole bunch of, I mean, it was like 30 or 40,000 people just got wiped out. And we heard testimonies. I remember a boy who told me he was inland with his, he crawled up in a tree and he saw his parents and family just get washed away. And he said, and then the wave came back. And he says, what they didn't get the first time, they got the second time. And he's a sole survivor of his family. And we saw this devastation and we stood there and we made this comment, how can we explain this to people in the United States, what this is like? I mean, we could take pictures, but it wasn't, you couldn't get the smell, you couldn't get the whole thing, you just couldn't capture it. And in our conversation, someone made the comment, it's a little bit like the Christian life. You can't tell somebody what Christian life is about unless they experience it. Then they can understand. Outside of that, you can try to explain, but you can't. Anyway, so the Spirit of truth will come. Jesus said that he's also going to be a teacher. In verse 26, it says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father has sent unto me, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. When I read that verse, this thing struck me. It says here, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. I shared this with one of the family. I said, the Holy Spirit can't bring anything back to you unless you read it. I mean, he can't bring something back to into your remembrance unless you know it. You read it. And so that's why it is very important for us to know the truth. We have to read the truth. We have to understand the truth. And when situations arise, the Holy Spirit will show you or help you see this verse means this. And that is what the Holy Spirit's job is, Jesus said. Also, the thing that the very first verse, or beginning, it says 16. It says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Do you realize the importance and the value of that? The Holy Spirit is with you, will abide with you as long as you are in relationship with him. This is what brings me to my two more questions I want to quick cover. And that is, we said the Holy Spirit only abides with those that accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Holy Spirit did not speak for himself, but he talked about Jesus. In other words, the Holy Spirit is actually Jesus in us. And if you can just grasp that, it's almost mind-boggling, because I don't think we value the place of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit doesn't lift himself up. He lifts Jesus Christ up. And that's when you can tell if a person is a born-again child of God, if they're talking about Jesus or if they're talking about themselves. Jesus is what should be emphasized. All right. When I was a young person, Ephesians 4, I remember going to my minister one time, and I shared this question. I said, I think I committed the unpardonable sin. I'm not sure how many here ever felt that or thought that, but I did. And I had a wonderful pastor. And he said, so why do you think that? Well, he said, I just think I did that. I tried to tell him things I did or whatever. And he gave this thought to me. He said, look, if you feel that way, the Holy Spirit's working in your life. And I realized, you know what? He was right. Because God loves us so much. He doesn't want us to get lost by the wayside. And if that was one of my concerns, I didn't blaspheme the Holy Ghost, because he's still speaking to me. He's still working in my life. I pity those where the Spirit's not working in their life. That is when they may be on the other side. There is, in Ephesians here, I'd like to read a couple of verses here. Ephesians beginning at 25. Ephesians 4, 25. Okay, wherefore, putting away lying, speaking evil, I need to start over again. This is right after things we should be putting on. It says, this is what we should put off. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, and that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let not corrupt communications proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, clamor, all evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. When you grieve the Holy Spirit, it's in this portion, in this section, it talks about all these bad things before it talks about that, and then it talks about the things that you should be putting away. In other words, if you will grieve the Holy Spirit if you are not experiencing the fruits of the Spirit in your life. In other words, it says here, if you're lying, if you're stealing, or if you have bitterness, you have wrath, you have anger, and the thing that stood out to me, put away from you with all malice. Malice is like naughtiness. You have an ulterior motive behind what you're doing. And that's when you grieve the Holy Spirit, when you are not being filled with the Holy Spirit and exemplifying the fruit of the Spirit. The other one is says, what does it mean to quench the Spirit? Not to quench the Spirit. And I like the illustration that most of us have gone camping or have built a fire. And when you know when you quench something, you try to smother it or, you know, wet it down or just get rid of it. And this is probably a little more pertinent, because if the Holy Spirit is talking to you in a small voice and you just push it off, just don't listen to it, you're quenching the Spirit. You're not letting it have flow in your life. And I've shared this story before, but I think it has riveted in my hard drive that I used to have a manure hauling business, and I hauled at night. I slept a little bit during the day. And anyway, it was like 3 in the morning. Something, I felt the Spirit told me, pray for your son. Pray for your son. And that son was Joel. And I specifically got this. And right then and there, I just started praying. I said, Lord, you know what's going on with Joel. Please pray. I pray that you might keep him safe, protect him, whatever it is. Anyway, later on that morning, you know, I think it was around 6:30, I called him up. I said, hey, how's it going? He said, Dad, all I can say is the angels were with me today. I said, what do you mean? He says, I was going down 95 with the tractor trailer, and he said, it was a new stretch of road, and they didn't have they call the sleeping policeman on the side, you know, the rumble strips, and he leaned over to get something, and his truck went off, and he was empty, but he made a complete 180 under a bridge. And he said, nobody was hurt, nobody got hit, he didn't roll the thing. And he said, the next thing he knew is traffic was, full-fledged traffic was coming toward him. And he said, all I can say is God's angel was with him. And I remembered, God told me to pray for my son. And so I'm just telling you, when the Holy Spirit tells you to do something, you better do it. I mean, you don't know. You really don't know. And if you have felt that you should pray for someone in Haiti or somebody in Ghana or somebody wherever, a relative or James, you need to do that. You need to do that. Because God knows and God can do great things, but he needs us to be a part of that. He can do it without us, but it's exciting when we're a part of it. All right. I would like to have a song sung. It's in the Zion's Praises. And it's number 18. I want you to sing that song. And the reason, I'll tell you after you sing the song, it's Zion's Praises 18. That way I can write some things on the board. Go ahead. Yes.
Thank you.
tell you why I chose that song. This week I was depressed, and that song helped me through it. And I'd like to encourage you, when you have a downtime, sing a song, because God doesn't want us to reflect the wrong kingdom. He wants us to be reflecting the kingdom of God. We know this. I'll read this. I just want you to get the portion before the fruit of the Spirit. That's beginning at verse 19. Galatians 5:19. It says, "For the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." The thing that, this is the fruits of the Spirit, that we, when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, that becomes a part of our life. And I would like to just give you a little bit of a, okay, when you think of love, this is divine love. This is not just, this is not love that, you know, we have the Jesus movement and that kind of thing. Yeah, fluffy love, that's a good one. But it's divine love. It's a love that's beyond the natural man. And I would like to, let me just go over this list, and I'd like to give you a counter. All right, joy is delight. Peace is harmony and rest. Long-suffering is patience, enduring. Gentleness is kindness. Goodness is generous or godlike. Faith is a trust or believing. And meekness is humble, and temperance is self-control and moderation. And I have learned that sometimes we need to look at the opposite to help you understand what's being shared. For instance, I'm going to go down over a list here of the opposite of these fruits. You have ill will and hate, or enmity. You have depression or sadness. You have discord and worry, frustration. You have disobedience. You're bold, or you're disruptive, you're hard, you're dishonest, you're evil, you're cruel. You disbelieve, you doubt, you deny, have a denial, or you have you're discourteous or arrogant, or disorganized, neglect, and disregards. You don't care. And I was made to think when I was going over that list that the devil majors in D's. The first thing he likes to do is he likes to plant in your mind the doubt that God is not everything. That's the first thing he wants to do. He wants to make you doubt in truth. That's what he wants you to do. With this fruit of the Spirit, it was brought to my attention that if you look at this, love, joy, and peace talks about a relationship that we need to have with Jesus or God. These three basically our relationship with others, and these three about yourself. And this is what you get out of the fruit of the Spirit. You find joy when you have a relationship with Jesus. When you find Jesus, you have this love, joy, and peace that you find in this relationship with Jesus, with God. And when you do that, you then have long-suffering and gentleness and goodness that you need to give to other people. And then you have to have a faith and a meekness and a temperance in yourself so that you can then experience this joy that God wants you to have. So the question is asked, do you have the Holy Spirit? Are you experiencing what God wants you to experience? Am I truly conformed to God's plan in reflecting Jesus? Am I being honest, humble, and holy? I came across an interesting poem, or two of them actually, and that is, I'm going to read them quick. It says, "Spirit of truth, come protect me. To Satan's lies, let me not agree. For he skews your every word till the gospel is so blurred. Spirit of truth, Jesus incarnate, help me to you and the path navigate. For if the way is wide, the crowd is deep, filling up fast with your lost sheep. Spirit of truth, never leave me, lest from Satan's lies I too can't flee." We need to stay close to Jesus Christ if we want to stay away from lies and find the joy and the peace that God wants us to have. This other poem goes like this. "If the Holy Spirit's voice you truly want to hear, then you'll need to give him everything that you fear. For his voice is low and soft, and you can't hear it in the roar. And with him, it will be hard to establish a rapport. If you're all wrapped up in all this noise and ruckus in life, you're not going to be able to hear the Spirit speaking to you. And if the Holy Spirit's voice you truly want to hear, then you must trust him for everything you need. For his voice is powerful. It can do mighty things. But you must willingly follow the instructions that he brings. To hear the Holy Spirit's voice, you need to listen carefully, for he will speak right to you if you do so prayerfully." And John 14:16 says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." My prayer is that each one of us will be experiencing that relationship, so that when Satan throws these lies at you, that you will say, "No, I want truth. I want to go back to truth." Because that's where we're going to find this experience here, so that we can experience the joy that God wants us to have. I was almost kind of tempted to let you share maybe your week. I don't know if I should do that or not, but I guess I can let Gerald take care of that. But I'm just pleading with you to realize that the devil wants to feed you a bunch of lies. And the only way you're going to be able to get out of this hole of these lies and deception that's all around you is by, first of all, get away from the lies that is holding you hostage. Don't let these lies I'll be very blunt with you. Last week, there's times where I felt like I was abandoned. Nobody cared. Seemed like everything was just, it was hard. Everything was about everybody else. You try your hardest to make things happen, and it just seems like things just always went wrong. And I am thankful that I still believe and I know that God is everything. Because if it wouldn't be for that, I'm not sure where I'd be. And the devil's lies that nobody cares, you're not worth anything, nobody wants you, all these things, they're just lies from the pit. Because God does love you. You are special. You are somebody that God wants to take care of. And we have to be willing to break away from this hostage lies and seek truth and find truth so that we can be the reflection of Jesus Christ. I am so thankful that God has given us the Holy Spirit, because technically that's God in us. And nobody else can beat that. I don't care where you go. God is everything. May God bless you this week. May we be honest and humble and holy for God's glory.